Today we have the privilege of studying Perek Yoteth, the 19th Perek of Yeshayahu, which is the top entitled Masa Mitzrayim, a vision concerning Mitzrayim. To me, this is one of the most fascinating Prakim in Yeshayahu and one of the most interesting. It has fairly clear historical references and engages two types of imagery. On the one hand, it deals with the imagery that we know from Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, from the story of leaving Egypt in Sefer Shemot. On the other hand, it also engages imagery from the contemporary Assyrian period. It is in that sense a vision of Yeshayahu which integrates Yetziat Mitzrayim imagery with contemporary politics and tries to give a sense of meaning to contemporary politics. We spoke earlier about the idea of dual causality. All events have dual cause. God is, on the one hand, there's politics acting, on the other hand, there's God acting. Here in this perek, we see again an interpretation of the political events of 734 BCE as they relate to divine reality. Now, what does that mean? In 734 BCE, the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser III, launched the first of his attacks, which influenced the area of Eretz Israel. That attack was not directed at the kingdom of Aram or at the kingdom of Israel. We've seen earlier at 733, 732, there was an attack directed at the kingdom of Aram and at the kingdom of Israel. But the first attack in 734 BCE was not directed at Aram or at Israel. It was directed primarily at Philistia, at the area of the cities of Plishtim, primarily the city of Aza. Why was that? Because Aza had participated in the anti-Assyrian coalition formed by Israel and Aram, and Aza, more importantly, controlled the trade with Egypt, which was extremely lucrative and which was important for Assyria to maintain control of this trade for economic reasons. Assyria, therefore, opted to, in the first instance, attack Aza rather than attacking Israel and Aram. And so the attack of 734 BCE is directed against Aza. As part of its attack on Aza, clearly the kingdom of Egypt was threatened by Assyria. There is no record that the Assyrians actually advanced in 734 BCE towards Egypt. But they did threaten. But they did cause great panic in Egypt because, after all, Aza, which had formed, had rebelled against Assyria, was at that point loyal to Egypt, and was benefiting from. And Egypt was benefiting from the fact that the trade through Aza was no longer controlled by Assyria, and so Aza was in a certain sense a satellite of Egypt, if not in the technical political sense, at least in the economic sense. Assyria in 734, as part of its campaign, not only attacked Aza, but also attacked the border region south of Aza, which were the border with Egypt. Even more so, it established a wandering tribe there, the Adbeil tribe, as a guard post. The Assyrians call them as a guardian against Egypt. The idea is to protect that area from Egyptian incursions and to ensure that Aza remains loyal to Assyria and that Egypt doesn't involve itself in Aza. And so this Assyrian advance towards Aza causes panic in Egypt. And Yeshayahu here describes that panic in Egypt and intermingles that imagery with imagery of Yetziat Mitzrayim. I will begin the perek, and I may leave some the end of the perek for discussion together with Parakaf, because Parakaf is very short. The end of this whole unit is an important unit which integrates historical information with information about from Yetziat Mitzrayim. Let us begin. Masa Mitzrayim, a prophetic burden of vision towards Egypt. Hine Hashem rochev al avkal uva Mitzrayim. Behold, God is riding upon a swift or a light cloud, and he will come to Egypt. Is it the cloud? Is it God? It's not clear, but God is riding on this cloud and coming to Egypt. What is the imagery of God riding on a cloud and coming to Egypt? And what is the reaction of the Egyptians? V'na'u elilei Mitzrayim mipanav ulvav Mitzrayim yimas bekirbo. The gods of Egypt shake before him. The idols of Egypt, more accurately, shake before him. And the heart of Egypt melts in its midst. The Egyptians are terrified. Even their gods are terrified. What is this image of God coming to Egypt? This, I believe, is an image of the Assyrian attack of 734. The Egyptians are terrified of Assyria, and Yeshayahu here speaks about God as the actor behind Assyria. God is sending Assyria to attack, and this is clear in Rashi. If you have a Rashi which has the original text of Rashi, rather than the printer's amended text of Rashi, if you look in the Bar Ilan edition of Rashi, you see here that Rashi comments, Lo yelem koach la'atzilat amam, the Egyptian idols will not have the power to save their nation, miyad shluchav, from the emissaries of God. Who are the emissaries of God? The emissaries of God are the kings of Assyria. So Rashi here recognizes that when we speak about God being sent, God riding towards Assyria, it is the king of, excuse me, when we speak about God riding towards Egypt, it is the king of Assyria riding towards Egypt. He is God's emissary. And it is in that sense that God is described here as riding on a light cloud. That image of riding upon a cloud is there in the Assyrian art as well. It's the Assyrian god, Ashur, who rides on a cloud above the king of Assyria and helps him to defeat his enemies. The reaction to that image in the cloud, which is called the Melamu image, is the terror of the inhabitants. And so Yeshayahu is here borrowing that Assyrian imagery, adapting it, subverting it, and describing it as God who is sending the Assyrians. God is riding his chariot and coming to Egypt. Pasuk bet. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. I will cause Egypt to fight against Egypt. Lower Egypt fighting against Upper Egypt. V'nilchamu ish be'achiv v'ish be're'ehu. They will fight one against the other. Here be'ir, city against city, mamlacha b'mamlacha, kingdom against kingdom. Egypt is engaged in a civil war out of terror of the Assyrian attack. This is often a reaction when a weaker state is faced with a powerful state. People of the weaker states go into a panic mode and start attacking each other. V'navika ruach Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim's spirit will be emptied in its midst. V'navika ruach Mitzrayim bekirbo. Milshon bokek. To be emptied out. V'atzato avaleya. And their strategies I will destroy. So these Egyptians are at total loss as to what to do. Their strategy is gone. Their spirit is lost. V'darshu el ha'elilim ve'el ha'itim ve'el ha'ovot ve'el ha'idonim. They will ask for advice from idols, from various types of necromancers and sorcerers. In other words, the Egyptians are totally at loss for a rational solution, and they seek irrational solutions. V'sikarti et Mitzrayim biyad adonim kasheh. I will hand the Egyptians over into a powerful master. Who is that power? Who is that difficult master, that hard master that God is handing the Egyptians into his hand? Umelech azim sholbam, and a king who is strong will rule over them. That's one interpretation of the words melech az. One can also understand melech az here as an angry king will rule over them. Anger, or aizu in Assyrian, being one of the appellatives of the Assyrian king. He calls himself a sharu aizu, an angry king. So I will hand the Egyptians into the hands of difficult masters. An angry king will rule over them. But who is the master of Egypt? Well, it's the angry king, you think. Not so. Look at the end of Pasuk Daled. Ne'um ha'adon Hashem ha'tzvakot, says the master, Hashem, Lord of armies. So in other words, the Egyptians will be handed over into a master, but above them, gavoa me'al gavoa shomer, the higher one who guards is God. So the Egyptians are being handed over into the Assyrians' hands, but it is God who is above them. V'nishatu mayim mehayam. Now this is a difficult phrase. V'nishatu mayim mehayam. The phrase is interpreted in various ways by the Mefarshim. The simplest way seems to be to understand it from the Shoresh Nasha, to forget. Water will be emptied from the sea. Water will be forgotten from the sea. Why will there be no water in the sea? Because the Nile, which flows into the sea, v'nahar yecherav v'yavesh, and the river will be dried up and desolate. In other words, the Nile is becoming dried up. Yecherav, to dry, Yavesh also means dry. The Nile is becoming dry. The sea, therefore, is losing its water. Of course, this is figurative. Pasuk Vav, ve'eznichu neharot dalalu ve'charvu yorei matzor kanev asuf kamelu. This is a description of the water becoming abandoned. Rashi explains here the water becomes less because because the water becomes less, they're more muddy, and so people abandon the water. It's not useful for drinking anymore. Dalalu v'charavu yorei matzor. The channels of Egypt, the Nile of Egypt, matzor here clearly refers to Egypt, are becoming abandoned and are becoming shallow and dried up. Kanevasuf kamelu, the reeds and the canes along the Nile are becoming shriveled. Now I skip a couple of psukim. I cannot cover, it's a long parak, I cannot cover all of it, but let's skip now to look at pasuk chet. Ve'anu hadayagim ve'avlu kol mashlichei vayeor chaka uforsei michmoret apnei mayim umlalu. So what is the result of this drying up of the river? The fishermen will mourn. All those who cast their nets will be in mourning. Or all those who cast their hooks, kol mashlichei vayeor chaka, means all those who cast their hooks will be in mourning. Uforsei michmoret apnei amayim umlalu. And those who throw their nets upon the water, they will be umlalu, they will be forlorn. Uvoshu of de fishtim. Uvoshu of de fishtim sirikot, ve'orgim chorai. Those who work in the linens will be also embarrassed, because the whole economy of Egypt depends on the Nile, and the Nile is now being dried up. Pasuk Yud Aleph, I'm skipping again. Ach evilim sarei tzoan, chachmei yoatzei faro, etza nivara. Foolish are the officers of Tzoan. Tzoan is one of the chief cities of Egypt. Chachmei yoatzei faro, etza nivara. The wise advisors of faro have lost their strategy. Ech tomru el paro ben chachamim ani. Ben Malchei Kedem, how shall you say to Paro, I am a member of the wise guild, I am a member of the mythical eastern kings who have wisdom. Ayam, Pasuk Yud Bet, Ayam Eifo Chachamecha V'yagidu Nalach. Where are those wise ones? Let them tell you what to do. V'yed'u Ma Ya'at Hashem Tzvakot Amitzrayim. Let them tell you what God is planning against Egypt. In other words, you have no power, you cannot fight against this this advance, because it is coming from God. Noalu sarei tzoan, nisheu sarei nof, hitu et mitzrayim pinat shivateha. All the officers of Egypt are in trouble. They are noalu, they have become foolish. Nisheu sarei nof, they have forgotten. Hitu et mitzrayim, they have caused Egypt to wander. Pinat shivateha, to the corners of her kingship. Again, no'alu sarei tzoan. The officers of Tzoan have become foolish. Nishu sarei nof. Better it would be to interpret here nishu milshon lahashi, to entice. The sarei nof have enticed Egypt into ruin. They have caused the hitu et Mitzrayim. They have caused harm. They have caused Egypt to wander. Pinat shivateha, the corners of her tribes, the idea that the chiefness of her tribes, they are all lost. Hashem masach bekirba ruach ivim. God has poured into Egypt a type of madness. V'hitu et Mitzrayim b'chol ma'aseihu. They have caused Egypt to err in all of their deeds. Ki ta'ot shikor b'ki'o. They have caused Egypt to wander, to walk around aimlessly in all their deeds, just like a drunk person wanders around drunkenly and vomits. V'lo yeh leMitzrayim maaseh asher yaaseh rosh v'zanav kippah ve'agmon. Egypt will not have anyone who can make for them a head, a tail, a chiefness. Egypt will be totally distraught. Bayom hahu yeh Mitzrayim kanashim. On that day, Egypt will be like women. What does it mean, Egypt will be like women? Egypt will be emasculated and unable to fight. V'charad ufachad mipnei tnufat yad Hashem tzvakot, asher hu menif aleha. They will be in terror, they will fear from the waving of the hand that God waves upon them. That idea of tnufat yad is the first image that we find in this paragraph, which clearly references Yitziat Mitzrayim. The idea of God waving his hand upon the river, we found in Perak Yud Aleph of Yeshayahu, used in reference to the splitting of the Red Sea. And here, God will wave his hand upon Egypt. That is a reference to what is the explanation for the drying up of the river? It is because of the waving of God's hand. On that day, Vaita admat Yehuda leMitzrayim lechaga, kol asher yaskir ota elav yifchad mipnei atzat Hashem tzvakot asher hu yoetz aleha. So the land of Yehuda will be for Mitzrayim for a chaga. Now chaga is a very difficult word which doesn't appear elsewhere in Tanakh. Rashi interprets chaga here as a destruction. So the land of Egypt will be a model of destruction. The idea Rashi interprets here as a reference to Sancheriv. Perhaps it would be possible to understand Chagah somewhat differently. The land of Yehuda will be for Egypt like a model, a source of fear. In other words, the source of the fear is somehow coming from Egypt, from Yehuda. Anyone who mentions Yehuda will be in terror. Why? Because as the Assyrians march to Egypt, they are clearly marching through the territory of Yehuda. And so anything that comes from Yehuda is for Egypt a source of terror. But it is important to recognize who will be the sovereign in Egypt. Who is the source of all this terror? Atzat Hashem Tzvakot asher hu yoetz aleha. It is God who is causing this terror in Egypt. So the important thing is that Yeshayahu is integrating two sources here. First of all, the idea of the Assyrian attack on Egypt. Second of all, the idea of the drying up of the rivers in Egypt. The Assyrian attack causes terror, as does the drying up of the rivers. Who is it who's drying up the rivers? It is God who's drying up the rivers, and this is a reference to Makat Dam, and a reference, perhaps more directly, to Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Yeshayahu uses the words Nufat Yad Hashem to refer to Kriyas Yamsuf in Perak Yud Aleph, and here too in Perak Yud Tet, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Perak Yud Tet Pasuk Tet Zayin, he uses the idea of Tnufat Yad Hashem as a reference to this Kriyat Yamsuf. And so this splitting of the rivers, this drying up of the rivers, is a divine act, which coupled with the Assyrian attack, causes terror in Egypt, and both of these have one goal. They cause the Egyptians to recognize that it is God who is sovereign. God sends the Assyrians, and God dries up the Nile. As a result of that, the last several psukim in this perek, from pasuk Yudchet and on, deal with the recognition of divine sovereignty by the part of the Egyptians. We'll deal with some of them now, and some of them in the next shiur. We begin pasuk Yudchet. Bayomahu yuchamesh arim be'eretz Mitzrayim medaberot sifat Knan v'nishbaot lashem tzvakot. On that day there will be five cities in Egypt speaking the language of Canaan and swearing to God Tzvakot, swearing by the name of God, the master of armies. Now, what are these five cities in Egypt? I do not know a precise historical reference to these five cities. I do not know what the historical idea that the Navi is engaging here is. But there is this idea that these five cities will, on the one hand, speak the language of Canaan. One of those languages is, of course, Hebrew. So these five cities will speak the language of Canaan. And they will swear to Hashem Tzvakot. In other words, within these five cities, they will recognize the mastery of God. One of these cities is identified, Ir HaHeres. Ir HaHeres literally means a city of destruction, but it is perhaps a play on words on the idea of Ir HaCheres. Ir HaCheres, Cheres can mean sun. There are some cities in Egypt named after the sun. And so one of those cities will be called the city, which was perhaps once called the city of sun, is now going to be called the city of destruction. The destruction causes a recognition of God's sovereignty. This is a theme which we saw, which you see many times in Sefer Yeshayahu. God's attacks are to lead people to recognize that He is sovereign. Bayom Ahu, and here that the epitome of the sovereignty is expressed in Pasuk Yotet. Bayom Ahu, Ye Mizbeach Lashem Betoch Eretz Mitzrayim, Umatseva Etzel Gvulah Lashem. On that day there will be an altar for God in the land of Egypt. And what is the idea of an altar for God for the land of Egypt? In the land of Egypt, an altar on which the Egyptians recognize God and offer sacrifices to Him. The fulfillment of this prophecy in the Midrashim is connected to the altar in Mikdash Chonyo. We know that in later times of Bayit Sheni, the Jews in Egypt established altars and sacrificed to God upon those altars, and this seems to be a reference to, this is interpreted by Chazal as a reference to one of those altars. But it may refer in a more pshat sense to the Egyptians in the time of Yeshayahu. As a result of the Assyrian attack, he prophesies the possibility that they will sacrifice to God on a Mizbeach in Egypt. The second half of this verse, though, is, I think, even more fascinating. Matseva etzel gvulah Lashem. There will be a matseva, a monument at the border of Egypt to God. Now, I can understand why there might be an altar to God in Egypt if the Egyptians are interested in worshipping God. But why would the Egyptians establish a monument to God on their border? What is this matseva etzel gvulah Lashem? Think again, here we have to have recourse to historical reality. In the time of Yeshayahu, the Assyrians established in the city of the Brook of Egypt, which is historically the border between Egypt and Eretz Israel. In that city, and we don't know what city that is, that may be in the area of Rafiach, that may be in the area of El Arish, wherever we locate the Wadi of Egypt, that is where the Assyrians established a monument at the border of Egypt. They clearly indicate that it is at the border of Egypt, even though they don't identify where the border of Egypt is. But clearly, at the border of Egypt, the Assyrians establish a monument to the king of Assyria in order that the inhabitants of the border area recognize the sovereignty of the king of Assyria. And so Yeshayahu was prophesying on that day, when the Egyptians recognize who is behind this Assyrian attack, they will establish a monument to God. Not a monument to the Assyrian king, not a monument to any other sovereign, but a monument to God. And so that monument will replace the current monument, the monument that indicates the mastery of this king of Assyria. Instead of that, there will be a monument to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'haya le'otu le'ed l'Hashem Tzvakot be'eretz Mitzrayim. It will be a monument and a testimony to the mastery of God over the land of Egypt. And here we have the beginning of the clear of even more Yetziat Mitzrayim imagery. Ki yitzaku el Hashem mipnei lochatzim v'yishlach lahem Moshia v'rav v'hitzilam. When they call out to God from those who oppress them, He will send them a savior and a leader who will save them. So one second. Who do we think of when we think about God, about someone calling out to God and God sending them a savior? Think about the Jews called out to God and God sent them Moshe Rabbeinu to save them from Egypt. And that motif is there in Sefer Shoftim as well. God, the Jews call out to God and God sends them someone to save them. But here, who is it who's calling out to God? It's the Egyptians who are calling out to God from their oppressors. Who is oppressing Egypt? That's Assyria. Assyria is oppressing Egypt, and the Assyrians are calling out to God and saying, help us, and He sends them a savior to save them. And just as in the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, when God sent to the Jews Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Moshe Rabbeinu achieve? He achieved that the Jews recognized God as sovereign. So too will this savior, this unnamed savior, whom God sends to the Egyptians, V'noda Hashem leMitzrayim. God will be known to the Egyptians. And this refers to the language in Yetziat Mitzrayim, in Shmot Perek Hey and Perek Vav, where Paro first of all says, Perek Zayin, he says, Lo yadati et Hashem, I do not recognize God as sovereign. That's what yadat Hashem means. It means to recognize God as sovereign. And in Perek Hey of Shmot, before the interaction with Moshe and Paro, God tells Moshe, there will come a time when I will send plagues to the Egyptians, and then they will know who I am. Then they will recognize me as sovereign. So as a result of this emissary of God being sent to Egypt, V'yad'um v'noda Hashem l'mitzrayim, God will be known to the Egyptians, V'yad'um mitzrayim et Hashem b'yom ahu, and the Egyptians will recognize God as sovereign on that day. So God will smite the Egyptians once again here. The Makot include two key elements in this story. The Makot include the Syrian attack and then the drying up of the Nile. At the same time, as a result of that, the Egyptians will begin their process of recognizing God by establishing by swearing to God, then by establishing a Mizbeach and a Matzevah. Then God will send an emissary to Moshiach, Savior, to save the Egyptians. And then the Egyptians will know that God is sovereign. What will they do to recognize God as sovereign? Ve'av pasuk kaf aleph, the continuation, ve'avdu zevach u'mincha ve'nadiru neder l'ashem v'shilemu. They will make sacrifices and meals and wheat sacrifices. Zevach is an animal sacrifice. Mincha is a wheat sacrifice, or a plant sacrifice. V'nadru neder l'ashem v'shilemu. They will make vows to Hashem and they will pay their vows. The idea that the Egyptians here are recognizing God as sovereign, are acknowledging Him, and are acknowledging Him by means of vows. V'nagaf et Hashem et Mitzrayim nagof v'rafo. God will smite the Egyptians, smiting them and healing them. V'shavu ad Hashem, God has healed them, they will return to God. V'ne'atar lahem urfa'am. He will respond to their entreaties and He will heal them. So the idea of God, it will smite the Egyptians, nagofu rafo, it will smite the Egyptians by smiting them and then healing them, and then they will return to God and God will heal them. So the ideas that we find up to now is the plagues that God visits upon the Egyptians, and then God will, as a result of these plagues, the Egyptians will therefore see God as sovereign, they will recognize God as sovereign, and God will send them emissaries, and then God will heal them from all the troubles that He has visited upon them. V'nagaf Hashem et Mitzrayim nagof v'rafo, He will smite the Egyptians, smiting them, but also healing them. They will return to God, God will return to them, and God will heal them. God will answer them, v'ne'atar lahem, they will return to God, v'shavu et Hashem, then v'ne'atar lahem, God will answer them, urfa'am, He will heal them. The rest of the chapter is fascinating, but I will append the rest of the chapter from Psukim, Kaf Gimel and following, to Perek Kaf, which is quite short.